Good morning. How are you this morning? Hope all's well. Well, let's see. Last week you came in here and you needed a winter parka. And this morning we need to be playing like, you know, some Calypso music, a little Jimmy Buffett or something like that, and put on our Hawaiian shirt and shorts. Woo! Man, I'm going to smell really good after this service. I'll tell you that right now. I'm already pitting. It's not good. We've been doing a series on the Bible, on the importance and the use of the Bible. We titled the series Sola Scriptura because this was one of the great declarations of the Reformation coming from Martin Luther, that when it comes down to it, the Bible is our kind of final source of authority. It's not the only way God speaks. It's not our only source of authority, but it is our final. You know, when we're looking at what we believe and what we believe, hear God saying, things like that, we're going to go back to the scriptures to make sure what we believe lines up with what God has already said. And so the whole point or purpose of this series was just to help you understand what the Bible is and then to give some really hopefully practical ways to integrate the Bible into your life. Because, you know, our hope and desire is that we will be a people who read and understand and even study the Bible together. And that it won't be just a once a week thing where you show up and sit and listen to me for a period of time and then go on about your week, but then that you will start learning how to integrate the Bible into your life on a regular basis. And that's what really this morning is ultimately about. This is going to be like one of those, it's going to be not so much a sermon as it's going to be kind of a teaching kind of thing. Because what I want to do is I want to just practically talk about ways that you can integrate the Bible into your life. William Tyndale is an important person in both church history and in history as a whole. He lived in the 1500s at the dawn of what I just talked about, the Reformation. And he had this passion that people in England would be able to read the Bible in their own language. Before he showed up, there were a few people who translated a little bit of the Bible into English, but for the most part, the Bible did not exist in the language that we read today, and people who tried to translate the Bible into English were often persecuted because a lot of people in the existing church at that time were afraid that if the average person had the Bible, they would run off with weird interpretations and they would stop listening to what the church had to say. But William Tyndale had this passion that if people could read the Bible themselves, that God would speak to their hearts, that God would speak into their lives, that they would see Jesus, they would realize that we were saved by Jesus alone, through his grace alone, and that if you and I could have the Bible ourselves and read it in our own tongue, God would do incredible things. He was persecuted his whole life. On the run, kept translating. He would go hide for a while. He'd translate the Bible. They would find out where he was and send people after him. He would go hide again. He actually spent quite a bit of time in a town called Worms, which is where Martin Luther was for a period of time. And he translated in Germany, living in this area of Germany for a period of time, a large section of the Bible. But they even roused him there. And eventually, some of his friends even betrayed him and turned him in. And literally, he was tried in a trial where he was not given a voice, convicted, and he was tied to a stake and strangled because he believed you and I should be able to read the Bible. One of his things that he actually looked one religious guy in the face, and he said, "My goal is that every plowboy, every person who pushes a plow," now that's uneducated people, okay? "Every plowboy in England 100 years from now will know more about the Bible than you do." I love that statement. The king of England did not like it. And as they strangled him, they put they tied him to a stake, put a thing around his neck and began to tighten it. The last words out of his mouth was a prayer. "Oh God, please open the eyes of the king of England." That's what he declared as he died. And the story is that he died and it lit a fire. 3 years later, the King of England, King Henry, authorized the first English translation, official English translation of the English Bible. That English translation basically was William Tyndale's translation, which later became known to you and me as another king authorized, King James. Those who've been around church know where we're at now. King James took that version and authorized it, a reprinting and just a revision. And basically, if you grew up reading the King James Bible, you were reading, for the most part, the translation of William Tyndale. You were reading the translation of a person who died because he believed that you should be able to read the Bible in your own language. And so what a sacrifice that leads us to what we're talking about today, the fact that here we are we using the Bible in our lives? Are we reading it? Are we interacting with the scriptures? And my goal today is just really to challenge you to find ways to integrate the Bible in your life. Psalm 119 is the longest book or longest chapter in the entire Bible. It's a great chapter, but it'll take you a while to read. I mean, it's 4 or 5 different pages in most Bibles, almost 200 verses of scripture, and the longest chapter in the entire Bible, amazingly, is about the Bible. It is a psalm, a song, or a prayer that was written so that people, as they were reading it, would get this love, this deep passion for the scriptures, this deep passion for what God has said through the Bible. Now, we have covered so far a lot of things. The first week, we talked about the fact that the Bible is from God, that God has spoken, that the Bible isn't the only way God speaks, but that the Bible is the clearest way that God speaks to us. And we've talked about the fact that the Bible is actually a series of books. It's not just one book, but the Bible actually contains 66 books. It was written over a 1,500-year period of time, 40 different authors, 3 different continents, originally penned in 3 different languages, speaking into the lives of people from all kinds of different backgrounds and situations. We've talked about the fact that even though there's a lot of diversity from where it came from, there is this unbelievable unity in the Bible and this overarching story that every word in the Bible points us to Jesus and the gospel. The fact that God himself came in the person of Jesus and he died on the cross, taking your place and mine, paying the penalty for our sin, and he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and that every image, every picture, every idea, every celebration, every story is pointing us to the big story that Jesus is the solution to our struggle. Jesus is the solution to our brokenness. And so this is kind of where we've been. Well, Psalm 119 takes all these ideas and puts it in this massive prayer or song or poetry that addresses all these issues. And basically, Psalm 119 is an acrostic. What you have in Psalm 119 is 22 verses. Each verse, I think, has 8 little stanzas or 8 different lines. And what happens is they take the Hebrew alphabet, the writer of this took the Hebrew alphabet, and the first stanza uses the letter A. And in the original language, in Hebrew, Aleph, which is their version of A, every line in the Hebrew begins with that letter. And then the second line begins with their B and their C, so on and so forth. So if you were to read this in Hebrew, it would be this huge acrostic. And every line in here is about the nature, the purpose, and specifically the love that we need to have for the Bible, for the scriptures, for God's revealing himself in the scriptures. So if you have a Bible, we're not going to read the whole thing. That would take the rest of my time up here, which may be a good idea. I would encourage you sometime this week to read all of Psalm 119. Just look at the different ways that this psalmist, this writer says, I love the scriptures because it does this in my life. It challenges me in this way. It speaks to me in this way. But we'll read a few. Turn over to Psalm 119 if you have a Bible. If you don't, at the end of your rows, we have Bibles for you. We'd love you to take one of those and read along with us. In that Bible, we will be on page 435. As you're getting there, I want to point out some things from this passage that it talks about or words that it uses to refer to the scriptures. And what he does, he gives us a lot of different words that kind of give us what the character and the nature of the scriptures. He talks about the law of the Lord. And this refers to the instruction, the things that God has spoken and called us to do and to be. He talks about the testimonies of the Lord. And the testimonies of the Lord is what he's saying when he uses this term. He's talking about the things that God has proclaimed about himself. You know, if you give a testimony, you're sharing from your experience about what is true. Well, God is testifying. The testimonies of the Lord are when God testifies about who he is and what he's about and who he's like, those sorts of things. He talks about the precepts of the Lord. And the precepts of the Lord are the things that God has appointed that will take place. It is when God is speaking as sovereign God, saying, I will accomplish my purpose. I will accomplish my will. The statutes of the Lord are what the divine lawgiver has laid down. The statutes are the things where the divine lawgiver says, this is what I expect from people. This is the way they should live. The commandments of the Lord are the things that God commands, that God speaks into our lives. The rules are the things that the divine judge has ruled to be right. The rules of the Lord are not always just for you and me to obey. Sometimes the rules of the Lord are just the way the universe works. And he talks about the word of the Lord, and this is what God has spoken. These different terms all refer to the scriptures, God's revealed word. So let's look at a few of the passages here. I'll start with the first one there where it hopefully at the top of your Bible says Aleph, which is the English way to say A in Hebrew. Verse 1, it says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You've commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I will not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Do you see him realizing that the scriptures, the word of God, the laws, the rules, the commandments of the Lord are things that if you live by them, if you know them, if you study them, if you integrate them and implement them in your heart, what he's saying is, listen, this is the way life will work. It will come together. The second stanza here, Beth, which is their way of saying B, says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Some of you who are younger in here, what a great verse. How can you keep your way pure? I don't know about you, my experience was that when I hit my early college years, I struggled in this area. I'd been in a home that talked about the Bible, that the Bible was really important, but I hit my college years, and instead of living according to the word, I lived according to my word. I lived according to my ideas. And it didn't work so well. He goes on to say, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I've treasured the scriptures in my heart. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do you see it? I mean, just how plainly he says, listen, we need to love what God has said. It needs to be integrated in our life. It needs to be more than just something that we deal with. We need to learn how to read the Bible like you would read a love letter when you're a 17-year-old kid. You know, we read love letters, we read things from our friends or things that are dear to us a lot more than you read the junk email that comes from some weird company on the internet. I get a ton of that stuff. I just delete it. But man, when Heidi sends me something, I read it with a different fervor. I get made fun of a lot because a lot of people send me emails. I'm the master of skim reading and missing it all. Is that you? Like, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, they'll send me an email and I reply to one part of it. They'll be like, but what about the other thing? And I'm like, wow, missed that totally. Didn't read it because I'm just like, but man, when it's from somebody I love, especially my wife, I really, and that doesn't mean if you guys have sent me something, I skim read it, I don't love you. Well, maybe. But anyway, if it was from my wife, I tried to be a little more diligent. He's challenging us to start reading the scriptures as a love letter. It's something that is sent from God to us and have a depth of passion for it. Let me look at a couple more. Verses 33 through 40. Look at this. There's a few phrases in here that I just really like. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. He says, listen, if you will teach me what you have proclaimed, you have said, I will do it. I will keep it to the end. Give me an understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Help me see what you want, Lord, not just my own selfish ambitions. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. As I read this passage, and I read Psalm 119 this week, just kind of focused on it, meditating on it, that verse right there got me, stuck me in the ribs. how much time I let my eyes wander and watch worthless things, and how little time I actually look at something that's really deeply important and will change my life. Verse 38, confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life. What a great psalm. And what a great reminder of us that the scripture, the Bible, needs to be part of our life. We need to find ways to integrate it. It's been said that the average person spends 40 hours a week working, or 2,000 hours annually at work, or a student spends 30 hours a week in school, which is about 1,100 hours a year. On the average, we sleep nearly 3,000 hours a year and have another 550 hours a year eating. I may beat that, but that's a different story altogether. And we average 1,500 hours a year watching TV. But at a moderate rate, the average person can read through the Bible in a year in under 90 hours. And the question is, if we're not really getting into it, it just really shows what we really value, what's really important. And I don't say that as a guilt trip. I'm saying that to challenge you to say, listen, what I want to do is I want to give you some thoughts and ideas about how to integrate the Bible into your life on a regular basis. To move from, I come and sit and listen to it once a week, which is a great place to start, to the Bible is part of my life. I'm involving it in who I am, and it's part of what I'm about. And so let me just tell you a little bit about my story. When I was growing up, my parents were, great followers of Jesus, and they loved Jesus, and my dad was always teaching. He was always teaching a class, a Bible study, a Sunday school class, having people over to his house teaching. And I grew up in a home where we talked about God and the things of God, and my dad really instilled in me this passion for reading and knowing and looking deeply into the Bible. I went through a couple years in college where I really strayed away from that, kind of told you that it was part of my experience, but strayed away from that a little bit. And what I really did is I learned how to intellectually deal with the Bible without letting it deal with me. I did a good job for about 3-4 years of my life learning how to let the Bible stimulate me intellectually, but not letting it challenge me on a heart level and not letting it affect who I was on a deeper way. And so I kind of lived this life that was on two levels for a period of time. And basically what happened is I had an experience where God just really got my attention. I don't need to go into all the detail of that. But as I was struggling with that period of time of deep doubt, of deep struggle, of deep just working through things and not knowing how to deal with life at the time, God brought me back to the scriptures. And I started flipping through the pages of the Bible, and I did what I'm going to encourage you not to do for the most part. I literally did one of these, where it's just like, all right, boom. And I read a few verses, boom, read a few verses, boom, read a few verses. Now, you got to be careful with that because you might read a passage, like you might go to one passage where it says, and David stole Bathsheba and slept with her. And then you flip over a few pages and you put your finger down and says, go thou and do likewise. And that won't work real well, okay? So you got to be careful about reading the Bible that way. But for me on that day, what happened is the voice of God spoke very clearly in my life by the reading of a couple passages of scripture, even at random, and spoke into some of the deep doubts I was struggling with at that time. And my point is this, that when we start reading the Bible, and more than that, we start letting the Bible read us, there is the voice of God that is part of the equation. That God will speak through the scriptures. Now, when I had shut him off mental, or it shut him kind of out of my heart and dealt with him just on an intellectual level, that doesn't mean that God stopped speaking to me. But what happened is when I moved from just making an intellectual exercise of being able to say the right things, spout off the right beliefs, being able to process things mentally, when I go from that to really deeply letting the Bible read me, letting my love for God and my love for the scriptures come out, and I read it with a passion, not just to know the scriptures, but to see beyond the scripture and see the one who gave it to us and who orchestrates the events of my life, and let him speak through those words. One guy said that the Bible is like a telescope. If all you do is look at a telescope, all you see is a metal and plastic. But if you learn to look through the telescope, you can see the worlds beyond. In the same way, if all I do is look at the Bible, I will often miss God. But if I learn to look through the Bible and find Jesus and find the work of God and the mission of God, it will open the worlds beyond. So you and I need to figure out how and find ways to integrate the Bible into our lives. And I'm going to use an illustration this morning. Just, I'll be honest right up front. It's kind of cheesy and kind of hokey, but it will stick within your mind, the idea of your grip, your hand, okay? And your five fingers and how to get a grip on the scriptures, okay? To get a firm hold on the Bible. I've done actually this talk in different places, and I've had people come up on stage and kind of help me out by taking the Bible out of my hand. I won't do that because that will make it more cheesy for you, but you get the idea. How do we get a hold of the Bible like the writer of Psalm 19? How do we let the Bible read us? How do we get into the scriptures so that it starts sinking into our lives in such a way that we learn how to hear the voice of God? And that all of a sudden we have a grip on the Bible, but more than that, God has a grip on us. And so using your five fingers as illustrations, I'm going to talk to you about the ways to get God's word in your hand, okay? And the first thing is this. I want to tell you that the first thing that we ought to do is to hear the word of God, kind of like your index finger. Now, if I hold my Bible with my index finger, and I better do this back here because if I flip and it hits one of those candles and we set the place on fire, that wouldn't be good. But I don't have a very good grip on the Bible just using my index finger. In fact, I got to use my thumb because I'll drop it, okay? But it's a start. And the Bible teaches us that hearing the word of God is important. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says this, faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, this is what's going on in this passage. This verse fits in the context where it talks about people who go and preach to people. Now, immediately you're thinking, yeah, that's what you do. But it's not actually what it's talking about. It's talking about people who go proclaim the good news of Jesus. That can be somebody sitting across the table having coffee. That can be somebody who with just a small group of people. There's all kinds of ways to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And there's this phrase, I just love this phrase. It says, beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim, who preach the good news. I have ugly feet. They're like really bad. I have webbed toes. It's weird, okay? I do not like flip-flops. And one of the real bummers, I mean, my girls are beautiful, like unbelievably. But one of my girls actually have my feet. And Heidi keeps looking at me. Every time she takes her, you know, socks off and looks at the little webbed toes between two of them. I mean, they were like ducks. It's weird. Every time she looks, she looks at me and she goes, every time your daughter puts on flip-flops, she is going to curse you. I do not have beautiful feet, but the Bible says that when I proclaim the good news, I have beautiful feet, that there is something about the beauty of me taking the Bible to people and proclaiming it. And so this is that verse I just read is a follow-up. It says, because faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, meaning that when we proclaim, people hear, God speaks in their lives and they believe, they trust Jesus. That is why preaching is important. There is this move in like Christianity, you know, around especially United States that says we need to stop preaching. What we need to do is we need to have a few songs and then we need to break up a little small groups and just kind of take the Bible and set it on our seats and we need to talk about God and get all warm and fluffy and fuzzy and just get a feeling on the inside of us that makes us feel good. And then we can all go out and sing good, you know, love songs to Jesus and we can high five. But the Bible commands the preaching, the proclamation of the Bible, of the scriptures. Why? Because faith comes through hearing and hearing from the word of God, the word of Christ. It is the proclamation, the spoken word of the Bible that God has chosen, God really has ordained to use to speak the gospel and faith into the lives of people. Now, I'm not telling you that the only way to do it is a guy up front who does what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, this is the way God has designed for people to come to faith, primarily, is the proclamation of good news, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of what God has said, taking the Bible, trying to show you what it says, realizing that the Bible is already alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is living, is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible already does its job, but when we proclaim it, when we preach it, when we talk about it, when we hear it, what God uses the hearing of the scriptures to start speaking that into life. Some of you, your story goes something like this. Man, I was in a service. By the way, this is my story. I was in a church service. The dude was on stage. He was talking. He was preaching. He was proclaiming. I can't explain what happened, but something went off on the inside of me as I listened to what the guy was saying. My story is I don't even remember what he said, but I do know he was preaching the scriptures. And when he got to the end, I knew that I needed Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But that goes on. I still need to hear the Bible. One of the challenges for me is that I'm the guy who is up here doing it. You get to sit and listen to me for a long time every week, okay? I'm the one who's up here doing it. But I still need to have in my life the discipline of hearing the scriptures proclaimed. Hearing people talk about the Bible, hearing people apply it, hearing people work through it. And so literally one of the disciplines of my life is I listen to probably 8 to 10 sermons from different people a week. And we live in this crazy age where everything I'm going to give you, this whole God's word in hand thing, the ease of it has just gone through the roof for us. With, you know, MP3 players and with all the websites that are out there and with all the possibilities where people can go listen to it, I don't really think I'm worth listening to that much. I get kind of amazed when I get emails from people that I know and love saying, man, I listen to you every week. I download your sermon and I listen to it, and I got an email from a guy who used to hang out here this week who they moved out of state, and he says, I download it and I listen to your sermon on the bus going to work every week. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I wouldn't do that. I'm not that cool. But I was moved by that. We have this ease of access to a lot of great guys, great Bible teachers, great people who are proclaiming the word. And it's important that we are in church on Sunday so that we can hear the word proclaimed. It's important that we are involved in finding other ways just to listen to the scriptures. Let me give you a website. Are you ready? If you're writing, write this. Oneplace.com, oneplace.com, oneplace.com is a great website because it is this place where there are literally probably a couple hundred different fabulous Bible teachers. Most of these guys are on the radio. If you're listening to some of the Christian radio, these are some of the guys you listen to. But all these different Bible teachers, and they have all their like sermons and talks and discussions and things like that out there. So you can just go download them. You can listen to them on your computer, all that kind of stuff. I have found that I need to integrate, you know, different things in my life where I'm hearing the scriptures. We sang a scripture song this morning. That's a way to hear the scriptures. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. That we need to integrate the hearing of the Bible into our the disciplines of our life, into the intake of our Bible. The New Testament has two basic words that talked about how the Bible is to be proclaimed. The first word is the word kerygma. The word kerygma meant the preaching of the core message of the gospel. It is preaching that Jesus came, he lived a sinless life, he died, he rose again, and because of that, if we will repent and trust Jesus, we can have eternal life, we can know God, we can reconnect with our Creator. That is the kerygma. And part of our preaching should always involve that core central message. But there is also another word that's used. It's the word didache, that is the idea of the teaching of the truths and the doctrines and the teachings of the Bible. And what we want to do here is that we want to constantly be talking about Jesus as the central message, but we also want to take people who are growing as followers of Jesus and help them grow and develop in their walk and start learning some of the deeper things like that. This is why we started Genesis Institute. I would encourage you, if you were like, maybe I should do that, consider coming. 9 o'clock, extra 45 minutes on Sunday morning, and go to our class that is on, the first one we're doing is on this cool little book that really is about who Jesus is and how I know him and how I grow in my relationship with him. It's a good way to come on a weekly basis and once again interact, hear, read, do that kind of stuff. Okay? And so we are preaching the core message of the gospel, but we're also trying to teach people how to understand the greater truths of the Bible and interact with those so that you can implement them in your life. And so we need to hear the scriptures. We need to hear the word of God. But if that's all I do, if I come one time a week and listen to somebody preaching, I'm not going to have a very firm grip. Somebody can steal that from me, take it pretty easily. So the second word I want, the second finger, which I might use my middle finger here to illustrate, is that we need to read the word. We need to read the scriptures. We need to spend time actually reading the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Says this, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, who's writing this passage of scripture, writes this book of the Bible, the last book in the Bible, he says, listen, we are blessed when we read this prophecy. Now, we can broaden that and show you verse after verse after verse. It says basically the same thing. We are blessed when we read the Bible. God has given us a book. Like I've said, it's not the only way God speaks, but he has given us a book. Books are designed to be read, and we are blessed when we read the Bible. There's all kinds of ways I can integrate reading in my life. One of the great people in Christian history lived in the fourth, early fifth century, a guy named Augustine. Augustine he's just a brilliant guy. He spent the early parts of his life pursuing different philosophies, different forms of Greek and Roman philosophy, and at the same time lived a pretty loose life. His mom was a follower of Jesus, prayed for him constantly, kept praying that he would come to faith. He just kept kind of, what he would do is he would tell his mom, yeah, I get that, and kind of get her where she would get off his back, and then he would go on living with his living girlfriend, sleeping with his living girlfriend, and doing all other kinds of things while he pursued all these different forms of philosophy. But he ended up in a city called Milan, and in Milan, he began to listen to this guy who was a preacher, a great preacher named Ambrose. So he began to listen to the preaching of the scriptures from a guy who was a phenomenal orator, began to be challenged with some of the things of Christianity. And so he went back to this courtyard. He's hanging out in this courtyard just having this deep internal conflict. And this kid just randomly out in the courtyard is running down the street shouting the words, take and read, take and read, take and read. Now, why that would happen, I don't know any little kid who's running around going, take and read. I don't know why somebody says that, but that's what happened. And he heard that as a challenge from God to open the Bible. And he opened the scriptures to a passage in the book of Romans. And as he was reading this passage, it spoke directly into his life. And this guy, Augustine, gave his life to Christ. And he became probably the most important theologian in Christian history after the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Why? Because he was challenged to take and read. Open the Bible and read it. We need to be challenged. That needs to be part of our lives. Finding ways to read the Bible. There's just all kinds of ways we can integrate the reading in our lives. At the beginning of the series, we handed out a Bible reading calendar. Some of you have taken that and you are reading and you're studying and you're starting to just read through one or two or three chapters a day. If you're like me, man, the whole consistency thing is always a challenge. This last week, I had a couple rough things and then made the choice to go hunting a couple times and then slept during the afternoon a little bit. And so, like, I got to have one of these days tomorrow. I'm going to do this tomorrow where I go, like, read the Bible for, like, 3 hours just to catch up with some of you guys, okay? Got to admit that this morning, okay? But reading the Bible, my dad and my mom instilled this passion for having, you know, just daily Bible reading. They did family devotions where we would read the Bible as a family. It became a very important part of my life. You know, getting the Bible on MP3 or CD, simple way to read the Bible, okay? Reading stories or sections of scripture, reading Psalms. There's a book called Proverbs that literally has 31 chapters in it, and I don't think that's random. I think just kind of as God was laying out his word, he gave us this one book of the Bible that just couple times a year, it fits in a month just perfectly, and we just need to kind of pick a proverb a day. Read the Psalms. Just find ways to integrate the reading. Some of you, the idea of reading the Bible is a really new thing, and so the question is, where do I start? Well, we purposefully did the reading plan and are starting with these readings in places that aren't going to weird you out and make you uncomfortable. Because I do get that if you haven't spent a lot of time in the Bible and you were in the middle of like, Hosea, it's going to be hard to follow. And then the whole story of Hosea is going to be like, this is weird. I don't get it. Okay? And so there are better places to start. If you're not doing our Bible reading plan, but you're like, I do need to start reading the Bible, I would encourage you to start with either the book of Mark or the book of John, two of the stories of Jesus. If you want to read like some of the Old Testament, I would encourage you to start with Genesis, which is the book of beginnings. And just start reading the Bible, integrating it. It may be that for you right now, the idea of even reading a chapter a day is just, you're like, I need to start somewhere, but I don't know that I can even pull that off. Then I would encourage you just to find a 3-minute or a 5-minute slot in your calendar, in your day, and start reading just 4 or 5 verses. Or, most Bibles now have headings. And don't go for a chapter, just go for a heading, a story, one story at a time in the Gospels. But start integrating the reading of the Bible into your life on a regular basis. When I start reading, what will happen is I will go to, now I have 2 fingers. I've got a little better grip. It's still going to be taken from me, but I've got a little better grip on the Bible. And so I need to move from that to not just hearing the word, not just reading the word, but we also need to find ways to start incorporating the study of the Bible. Going a little bit deeper, I'll hit this quickly, say a few things, and then tell you that the whole message next week is going to be talking about digging deeper in the Bible. How do I go below the surface and really get to the deeper and real meaning of the text? What am I trying to find? But studying the Word, getting into the point where the Bible for me is more than just something that I'm reading like a magazine, but I begin to dig into the deeper truths that the Bible has. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 is talking about this guy named Ezra who was one of the key people in the Old Testament. And it says, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and do it and teach his statutes and rules to Israel. Part of the key to study is that I'm going to go a little bit deeper in the Word so that it becomes such a deep part of me that I'm able to pass it on. We did our explanation of who elders are, key leaders in the church. One of the requirements for a person to be an elder is that they're able to teach. What that really means is it's not somebody who necessarily stands on stage and preaches, but they have done enough study of the Bible that they are able to pass on the truths of the faith to other people. And they've done that because they've studied the scriptures, that they are in the Bible in a deeper way. They are studying the Bible. I want to tell you some of the times that I think greater study are probably needed in our life. I think if you are going through a real dry time in your spiritual life, you're like, I've been a follower of Jesus for a while, but man, just right now, I'm not really deeply connected to God. It's probably a good time for you to do a study of a section of scripture, to dig deeper. If you are in a time in your life where you're having some pretty significant doubt, that's a really good time to take a step back and to find a good section of the Bible and to do a study where maybe over a period of a month or two, you pick 10 or 15 verses, you get a few study tools, and you just kind of figure out what it looks like to go a little bit deeper in that passage. If you are struggling to hear the voice of God, the study of the Bible will start training you to hear God clearly. I think periodically we all need to take a few weeks and times where we do a little deeper study of the scriptures, okay? And so we need to hear the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. I also think there's times where we need to study the Word of God. And I'm getting a little better. I got a little better grip on the Bible, but if you were to come up here and try to take it from me, you could rip that out of my hand. So the fourth thing I want to tell you is that we need to memorize and meditate on the scriptures. We need to memorize the Bible and we need to meditate on it. Meaning that we need to have ways in our lives where we take little bits of the Bible and we go over it pretty deeply and pretty consistently, and we put it into our heart. Psalm 119, we read this verse 11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And that what we just read, the psalmist is literally saying, how do I stop sinning? Do I conjure up my willpower and just get disciplined and really? And what he says is, no, the way to deal with the sin in my life is I get so deep into your scriptures that it gets so deep into me and it changes me from the inside out. I've stored up your word. I have treasured meditation and memorization. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God is speaking to this guy named Joshua. He's going to be the leader of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people at this time. And it says, the book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He says, listen, if you want to prosper in life and have success, don't read money here, okay? It's not the point. He's saying, Joshua, you're going to lead God's people, and if you want it to work, the key is you need to meditate on the book of the law, the scriptures that you have. You need to put it into your system in such a way that there is this deep thinking and dwelling on it. The imagery here is very interesting because it is the imagery of a cow eating. You ever think about how a cow eats? How many stomachs does a cow have? Anybody know? Four stomachs. You know how a cow eats? I'm going to totally weird some of you out. Some of you are going to be like, I cannot go back there after this. Okay, I'm just letting you know that right up front. You know, a cow eats a little bit of grass, it swallows it, and then barfs it back up into its mouth. Isn't that beautiful? Chews on it some more. When we say a cow is chewing on his cud, that's what he's doing. He is re-chewing his food. You know, kind of like, you know, have a little bit of that backwash you have every once in a while. Well, that's what's going on. Chew it, swallow it again, stomach number two. Barfs it back up again. You know, this is the way a cow does it. And there's this process of putting it down, bringing it up, putting it down, bringing it up, putting it down, bringing it up. That's kind of the imagery of this verse. The meditation is not just, I read the Bible, I put it away, but I take smaller sections and I put it into my life. And then I find ways to bring it back up. Put it in, bring it back up, think on it, dwell on it, focus on it, all kinds of ways. We're going to talk about one a little bit later or do this a little bit later, and we've done something for you, but having scripture on cards, practicing and memorizing a passage, taking a passage and putting it on one really good strategy for this is to put it on mirrors, like your rearview mirror in your car, to put, you know, a little card with a passage of scripture. Now, don't hit somebody. All right, or put it on your bathroom mirror so that while you're shaving, or ladies, while you're doing your makeup and you're, you know, looking at yourself in the eye and doing that, there it is right there. You're kind of reading that at the same time. Finding strategies. For me, I'm going to tell you how I do this level of scripture. For me, I have turned my exercise time into a time to meditate and really focus on the scriptures. I used to sit and I'd exercise. I know some of you don't believe that, but it does happen occasionally. Exercise, you know, I'm on a piece of equipment for 25 minutes. I used to watch TV. There it is, worthless things in front of my eyes. And I began to say, you know, I could use this time better. I tried reading for a while, I liked that, but then I started thinking, you know, I need to use this time for this. And I actually have this journal, this log, where I've written all these scriptures that I want to think deeply on and memorize. And I use the 25 minutes I'm on a piece of exercise equipment to just go over and to think through and pray through short sections of scriptures. Now, if you want to memorize the Bible or memorize the scriptures, there are three rules. And I want you to repeat these rules with me, okay? The first rule of memorizing scripture is that I must repeat it, okay? So say that with me. The first rule to memorizing scripture is that I must repeat it. The second rule to memorizing scripture is that I must repeat it. And the third rule to memorizing scripture is that I must repeat it. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, I cannot memorize the Bible. All right, some of you have been married for more than 15 years. Do you remember your first phone number? Yeah. How many addresses do you have in your head? Some of you have like whole movies memorized. Brian. We can't, but how do you do that? You watch it over and over, repetition. That is meditating on the scriptures. And so start finding ways. All right, so I've got that. the last thing I need to do is I need to do it. I need to hear the word, read the word, study the word, memorize and meditate on the word, and then I need to do it. I need to go from just, it's a book, to it's something I do. James chapter 1 says this, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, and he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like." What he's saying here is, if I read the Bible is like a mirror. I read the Bible, and then the Bible reads me. And I see into it, and I see Jesus, but I also see myself. And I see my desperate need for Jesus, the fact that I need to repent, the fact that I need to integrate the scriptures into my life, and I need to do what the Bible says. I don't need to argue with the Bible. I don't need to come up with what reasons that I can't do it. I need to just listen to the scriptures, understand that God is speaking in my life, and I need to do it. There are a lot of times in my life that the cold spells, the places where I shut God out and I began to deal just intellectually with God and I didn't deal with him on a heart level, that happened because I knew that God was telling me an area of my life I needed to adjust and I didn't want to. I just said no and I shut him off. Mark Twain said, "It is not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand that bother me." Be a doer of the word. He compares it to a person who looks in a mirror and, you know, you wake up in the morning and your hair's all to the side. You got things coming out of your nose. You got like a half-grown beard, guys or ladies. You know, you got the whole head hair thing, you know. And you look in a mirror and you're like, "Oh man, I got to do something about that." And then the phone rings and you go answer the phone and you forget all about it. You get dressed, you show up at work and somebody looks at you and goes, "What is wrong with you? Would you please blow your nose? You got stuff there. Would you please comb your hair or put a hat on? You cannot represent us looking like that." He says that's what it's like when we read the Bible and don't do it. So what happens, just for the analogy, is that when I hear the word, read the word, I begin to meditate and memorize on the word. I begin to study the word. I begin to do the word. I get a firm grip on the Bible. And not only that, the Bible begins to read me. And God brings life transformation. I begin to recognize the voice of God. I begin to implement God's purposes into my life. My challenge for you this morning is to start somewhere. If you're kind of at a point where you're like, "Man, this is all new to me," don't try to get all five fingers going. Start somewhere, though. Find a way to integrate the discipline of involving the Bible into my life somewhere in your life this week. If you're somebody who's kind of got like three of these fingers working, add a fourth. Start somewhere. Integrating the Bible in life, God will change your life through the reading of the Bible. We did this whole series because I firmly believe that if you will start reading and interacting with the scriptures and let God change your heart through it, he will change you as a result. And so that's our challenge this morning. I'm going to pray. Band's going to come out. We're going to sing a few songs of worship to Jesus because the entire Bible is about him. But I just want to encourage you, use the Bible. Lord, we love you today. We praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalm 119, which is this really cool reminder of how we should love you and your word. And I just pray, Lord, that this morning you will teach us and lead us to have a greater love for the scriptures and a greater love for you. In your name I pray. Amen.